We start this evening, for those of you who might be out Christmas shopping, in fact, and looking for some ideas for books and friends and family, Declan Burke is with me in studio. So if you have a pal or someone you have to buy for who is a fan of crime fiction, then Declan is the man that you want to hear from. Six you have for us. Let's start with, I'll ask you to say the name of the writer of The Godmother.
Hannelore Kerr, I think I'm pronouncing that. She's French. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Better known in France as a filmmaker and a literary novelist. The Godmother is her first crime novel.
So this is the equivalent of the John Banville Benjamin Black, but Hannelore Kerr is using the same name.
Yes, indeed. Very similar.
Right. Now, when you have a book called The Godmother, you have to think there's some nod here towards The Godfather, is
yes,
there?
Yes, indeed. It is a very direct nod, but an ironic one. The main character, Patience Portefeu, I think is how you pronounce her name, she was born into a life of crime. Her father was a Moroccan immigrant who was effectively a gang boss, and she chose not to follow a life of crime until in her early 50s she comes across a photograph that was taken of her with Audrey Hepburn back in the glory days, and decides that in order to be able to afford to buy this, she has no choice but to turn to crime. Now, she's working currently as a court translator. She's an Arabic translator, and that gives her access to all sorts of sensitive information. But because her boyfriend is a narco detective called Philippe, she is completely above suspicion. So she is able to use the information she gets while translating these scripts of interviews and conversations, and starts to make her fortune.
Now, in your notes about this book, the words Ealing comedy come up. And I wonder, how does crime fiction and Ealing comedy, how do those two mix?
It's archly stylized. It's very mannered. This is a woman who was ostensibly respectable and middle class, and she actually strives to become, and I'm kind of quoting, the classic Jewish woman of fiction, of great fiction. That's her the public persona she's
seeking
portrays,
to
while at the same time she's doing these deals in prison car parks and in supermarket car parks with Arabic kids, because they are the people who will buy the drugs from her in order to sell on to a largely white middle-class French population of consumers.
All right. Was it originally written in French? Is this a translation?
Originally in French, and because of that, you know, the kind of cultural the intertextuality of it, this is very much a satire on current French post-colonial guilt and racism and all that, because she is the godmother, but she's completely above suspicion simply because she's white, respectable and middle class. Terrific piece of work.
Let's move on then to Hudson's Kill. This is by Paddy Hirsch, and we're location this time is New York, and we're back in the 19th century, 1803 in fact, with the wonderfully named Marshal Justy Flanagan and his sidekick Kerry O'Toole. This is the investigating duo.
Yes, a loosely linked investigation getting duo. This is Paddy Hirsch's second novel, and Marshal Justy Flanagan, he is effectively a forerunner of what would become the NYPD, and Kerry O'Toole. They're both first generation Irish, have come over and they're assimilating in the melting pot and New York at this time. It's a vast, thriving city of 25,000 people.
We're a bit ahead of the gangs in New York. We're a bit before that, are we?
Not too far off. I mean, at one point, there's a kind of a power struggle going on. At one point, Paddy Hirsch has one of his characters say that the Irish, Black and American nativist gangs were all struggling for control of what they considered to be quarters of their own city. So it's slightly before gangs of New York, I think, but the same dynamic. Absolutely,
And how horrible a place is this early 19th century New York?
Well, it's very horrible, and the plot, I mean, it follows Kerry, who stumbles across a young teenage girl who has been horribly mutilated in an alleyway, and nobody seems to care simply because they assume she was a prostitute, and both Kerry and Justy take it upon themselves to investigate, which is relatively standard plot for a crime novel. But what Paddy Hirsch really excels at, and what I think you're getting at, is the way he portrays the New York of 1803. It's just fabulous. You can almost smell the stench.
Smell the bad smell.
Yeah, unfortunately, but he does a brilliant job of it. That idea of all these kind of cultures, these races and so forth, living cheek by jowl, you know, not comfortably, and the tension and so forth. He does that brilliantly.
Just one thing, there's a mention here of an Islamic enclave to do with horse trading. Is there any kind of contemporary statement or comment being made around that aspect of the story?
I suppose it's about the integration of different cultures, different races and so forth. The title Hudson's Kill is a place where an Islamic, they're ex-slaves, effectively, who are freedmen now, and they've come and they've staked their claim to this part of New York. So there's an element of, but it's not overstated. The political is in the subtext. Yeah.
Right, that's Hudson's Cale by Paddy Hirsch. I don't think the political is in the subtext in the case of Attica Locke and Heaven My Home, which is your next recommendation. Contemporary Texas, just after the election of Donald Trump. Attica Locke, well known for political writing, in fact.
Very much so. This is the third of her novels to feature the Black Texas Ranger, Darren Matthews, her fifth or sixth novel, I think, but always her politics are to the forefront. Darren, in this novel, he has been dispatched to the Texas-Louisiana border to investigate the disappearance of nine-year-old Levi King. And what complicates matters is Levi King is the son of a convicted member of the Aryan Brotherhood, and that makes things very complex for Darren, because he believes himself, he's equally motivated by...
Darren is a Black Texas Ranger.
A Black Texas Ranger.
I presume that colour is important and that ethnicity is important in the telling of the tale.
It's crucial to the series of novels, and you mentioned that it's in the wake of Donald Trump's election, and as one point Darren points out to us, there have been more than 50 incidents of hate-tinged violence across the state in the 4 weeks since the election. So Darren is very much aware of his colour and his role, because as he says at one stage, he has the impulse to police crimes against black life and to protect black life against police. So he finds himself very much in the firing line.
Yeah, now given that, when somebody says to me in January or February, I think this could be the book of the year, you kind of go, well, let's hang on until it's a little bit further. And here you are in December now, and you're saying that potentially this is one of the most important crime novels of the year.
Of 2019. Sean, I should have made that clear.
Oh, no, I know you're saying that, but I'm saying in December that means something.
Oh, absolutely. Attica Locke has always been a terrific writer. This is probably the best of the Darren Matthews. You know, it's contemporary, it's incredibly relevant, and also she's a brilliant storyteller, and that kind of combination.
Heaven My Home by Attica Locke. Sarah Jane is the title of the James Salas novel that you're going to tell us about now. An impressionistic take. It sounds as a kind of a dreamy,
novel. It kind of is, because a lot of it is to do with the central character is a character called Sarah Jane. Sarah Jane Pullman, she describes herself of hillbilly stock, and she accidentally kind of finds herself appointed acting sheriff of the town of Far when the sheriff goes missing, presumed murder. And I included this one because it's not a conventional crime novel at all. A lot of the novel is to do with Sarah Jane's remembering, kind of half-remembered memories of who she was, where she came from, how she became this person who finds herself thrust into this role. We don't know if we can always trust Sarah Jane's memories and so forth. So it's more a novel about how a person becomes to be who just happens to be an acting sheriff. So
she's an acting sheriff. And the other thing is the Sarah Jane Pullman, the lead character here, or the eponymous character, in fact, she has a literary background herself. So I presume that allows James Salas to make all sort of literary allusions.
Yeah, and James Salas...
Oh, you're kind of grimacing there a bit?
Slightly, because, Sarah Jane is also a short order cook, it's entirely possible that short order cooks could also be majors in English literature, but it just feels a little bit too convenient, and it allows James Salas to throw in quotes from Dante and John Updike and James Crumley, to be fair, who's one of the best crime writers of the last 50 years. But James Salas is a different kind of crime novelist, very slim, almost novellas. Yeah. For someone who's looking for something slightly different, a crime fan, they're not too interested in the conventional novel, this will probably do the trick.
All right, I'm not giving you any Christmas gifts today, Declan, because here I am going to ask you very nicely. Little Siberia is the title of the next novel.
You took the easy part.
Yeah, and it's Nordic noir, I'll also say that. So what aspect of Nordic noir is this author giving us?
Antti Tuominen, I think is how I might, I have pronounced
Antti Tuominen, I think,
don't know if it's correct. Finland is where Antti sets his novels. And of all the Scandinavian novelists, I'm not sure there is another funny one. And Antti, he is the funny one. I think this is his fourth novel. If you like the kind of Coen brothers, that kind of black slapstick, in which the bad guys think they're absolute geniuses and are revealed to be anything, but you'll probably like his novels. This one is a wee bit more serious. It opens with a meteor crashing down through the roof of a rally driver's car, and it's subsequently discovered to be worth about €1 million.
And is that all plausible? Does it read like as plausible, or is there tongue in cheek?
It's about Nordic as plausible as it sounds. Yeah. Stated like that. This happens in the very first chapter, but you open the book, you know it's kind of a black comedy. It's slightly surreal, which is fair enough. And what happens as a result of the meteor crashing down is that the village, once they realise it's worth a fortune, you know, greed, intrigue, murder all follow. What's most interesting for me as a central character is that the village priest, a guy called Joel, who was previously an army chaplain in Afghanistan, more interested in reading James Ellroy than the Bible, as he tells us. And it's about his professional and personal loss of faith and his ability to go trudge along and do the job that he's supposed to do, regardless of his loss of faith.
All right. And finally, then, you have an Irish one to finish up with. What You Did by Claire McGowan. She has a series of novels, Claire, but this is a standalone
That's
work.
That's right. A series featuring Paul McGuire, who's a forensic psychologist. They're set in Northern Ireland. I kept this one to last because it was my favourite novel, crime novel of last year. It's a standalone domestic noir, a group of college friends who come together for a, you know, 20 years after being in college for a Saturday night reunion, and which is a cosy evening and completely blown apart when one of the characters makes a shocking allegation of rape against one of the others. Ali is our narrator. It's her husband Mike whom the allegation is made against. Should she believe her best friend Karen?
And also Ali is the chair of the local women's refuge,
you know, slightly complicated things, as you would imagine. This all happens in the first three chapters, Sean, and there's plenty there for you know, a novel in itself. But Claire McGowan is absolutely relentless. I mean, obviously this is a book that's rooted in Me Too and Time's Up. It's very political, but very much political that's rooted in the subtext. This is a cracking novel of twists that on almost every chapter obliges the reader to go, oh, what would I do if I found myself?
So lots of moral dilemmas.
Moral dilemma. It's brilliantly done. And as I said, this is my favourite crime novel of the year.
Favourite crime novel of the year, in the case of What You Did by Claire McGowan, published by Thomas and Mercer. And the other one, obviously, that you're saying is a very important crime novel this year was the Attica Lock, wasn't it? Heaven,
That's
My
correct.
Home by Serpent's Tale. And the other recommendations from Declan Burke: Hannelore Kerr's The Godmother, published by Oldcastle Book; Hudson's Kill, published by Corvus, written by Paddy Hirsch; Sarah Jane by James Salas from No Exit Press; and Little Siberia by Antti Tuomainen, published by Around the Books. Declan Burke, happy Christmas to you and yours.